Well, good morning. I trust that you're all well. If you haven't heard, our daughter is engaged. So we don't know all that's going to take place here. Outside of Dad is going to get stretched and a little bit poorer. I did tell the boys as Chris and I gave our blessing, I asked them if we could borrow some money. And Wes said, no, I'm holding on to it. I have a daughter of my own. And of course, Caleb kept silent because he has three daughters. So we're grateful. We're grateful. Right? Yes. It's good to be here this morning. I don't know about you, but I've been so blessed by the messages that's been coming out of the book of Mark. I really see God's hand in this. As we as elders pray and seek the Lord on what we ought to be going through as far as messages and books and stuff, we really want to be sensitive to the Lord. We want to hear His voice. We want God to direct us, and it just seems like last year and this year, how important it is for us to become servants. And as we see the life of Jesus being a servant, He calls us to be that. And sometimes we have to be servants in sticky situations. We have to be servants at times when we really don't want to be a servant. We have to be servants when, quite honestly, I want my own way, or I want somebody to serve me, and yet God asks us to take the position, you who is greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. Take the initiative, because that's what Jesus would do for us. And so I just see God's hand in all this. The last couple messages, even Wampa last week, was so good. Thank God for the gifts that he's given to the elders. We're all different, night and day different. I'm grateful for that. We would be boring if we were all the same. You know what? There's at times I say at work, you know, I need to clone myself because I have four guys right now, brand new guys, been there less than 90 days. And I want to spend time with each of them. I train the people in our company as they come into the doors. I train them. What I've been doing now for 28 years. And I've told you that God has blessed the fruit and labor of my hands. And I want to invest in the next generation of machinists if I can. And so I told Chris this the other day, I said, I need to clone myself so I can have one guy with each guy. She said, that wouldn't be good. I said, why? She said, you wouldn't like yourself. A little bit of truth to that sometimes if we had to deal with ourselves. If we're honest with ourselves. Let's pray. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we humbly come to you. We're really needy. We really are needy. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us. We're grateful that you have sealed us. We're grateful that you have called us. We're grateful that you have saved us. And so, Lord, we still, in all that you have done for us, we still need you. May we be reminded of that this morning. Father, I pray that you'd show us yourself. I pray that you'd reveal the Lord Jesus to us as we read the scriptures. I pray that, Father, as you just lead us and guide us and teach us, I pray that you'd mold and shape and fashion our hearts and our lives in ways that would honor you, glorify you, that you might glorify yourself in us. Lord, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. We want to hide in Jesus. We truly want, even just what Wampa shared last week, that we might decrease and Jesus might increase in us. Thank you for your word. Please help this morning. Help our understanding. And we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was picked on by Jason this morning about me having overheads. What? You have overheads? I said, that's all right. You can pick on me. It's an easy target. So if you would turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 1. We seem to be going a little bit slow in the start of this, but I think that as we go on more in Mark, we're going to see greater lengths of pieces of scripture that we'll be going through. But this morning we're going to go through four verses. God has really ministered to me in these four verses. I actually have 4 points for you this morning, and they are, as I sat last week, if you were taking notes from Wampa, he had 3 P's. And as I was sitting there, I'm thinking, he stole my peas. But it's a continuation. So it's not the same peas, but they're 3 P's, or 4 P's. His was 3. So Mark chapter 1, verse 16 through 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in the boat, mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. It doesn't seem like there's much here. If we look in the text there in Mark, and I'm guilty of some things. I'm guilty when I read, if I was to read the book of Mark from start to finish, sometimes I think, okay, this happened in a week time. And you know that's not the case. And then you'd start to put time constraints on it, 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. And then you begin to think of other things, and you think, okay, Jesus walked 10 feet, and this happened, 10 feet, this happened. I'm guilty of that. Do you think that way? Maybe you don't. Maybe you think, you know, okay. But I sometimes have to slow down so I can understand, so I can go forward. So when we look at the scriptures, Jesus, he's living up in Nazareth. So if the Sea of Galilee is right here, Nazareth is over here. So he's being baptized. Well, being baptized is down here about 30 miles away. And he didn't get in his Honda and drive there. You see, our culture hinders us from thinking rightly sometimes about the scriptures. So as he comes down and gets baptized, well, then he's going to be going up almost 80 miles to the north of Galilee where Capernaum is. Eventually, he makes that his home. And so the scripture says right here, if I was to, can I back this up? I can. It says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of has a little bit of implication of he's just going for a stroll. Now, keep in mind, he's just been 40 days and 40 nights fasting. We don't know the route that he traveled during the time that he was being tempted by the enemy. We do know that there's a sparse desert there. God ministered to him, the angels ministered to him, and Satan tried to tempt him. And he is faithful. He spoke the word of God, resisted the devil. And now the next thing we begin to see is we see Jesus alongside the Sea of Galilee, getting ready to call his disciples. Well, in the Greek, that word passing along carries a word with it of intentionality. King James says, as he walked by the sea. So that word walked in or passed alongside. He had a mission. He was on a purpose. He had a goal. He already had in his plan of calling the disciples. I like to stroll along the beach side on the beaches of the ocean. I just love it. The ocean, hearing the roar, the water at my feet, the sand in my toes, walking alongside the sun, enjoying. I like to sit and I like to meditate on the scriptures. I like to read the scriptures. I like to think about the things of God at the ocean side. So I do it sometimes just to pass the time away. This is not the case with Jesus. In fact, that's not the case of Jesus' life in every step he took of his life. Even in the time from him being raised up to the point of his start of his ministry, everything was intentional. When we begin to look at God in his supremacy and his creation and his intention and all that he has created and done, he has a purpose for everything. There's a reason for everything. And so as we look at Jesus' life here in the book of Mark, we're going to see that everything he did was for a purpose and a reason. And so in the Greek there, that word, it carries along it says it's to make one's way, it's progress, or to make due use of opportunities. That's what the Greek word carries along. So it's not like Jesus was just going for a walk. He was there with a purpose to call his disciples. Our Savior does not do anything without a purpose behind it. Four points I would like to encourage you here that we would like to see is Jesus calling his disciples. One, it is personal. I was talking with a brother today just as we were coming in. Do you know you carry nothing outside of your sin for your salvation? Salvation's all of God. I carry nothing but my sin, and Jesus lovingly and kindly covers my sin with his blood as I receive him as my Savior. So as Jesus is calling So it is personal. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And God provides. He provides. Personal. Jesus calls us by name. If you were to go back to the moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, Jesus knew what he was doing when he called you. He specifically singled you out at that very moment. Even if it was in the midst of a crowd and he wasn't speaking to anyone else, he was speaking directly to you. He chose you. He loves you. It's all about you as a person, and he loves you very specifically. When we say that he calls us by name and he knows us, if we were to go over to John chapter 1, we will see that he actually calls Nathanael and he calls Peter without even him being introduced to them. Nathanael says, "How did you know my name?" He said, "I knew you before when you're standing over there." And Nathanael's response was, not only was he humble, but he knew Jesus was something special. If we go back to, let's do it. We'll try and make time. We'll try and still. Exodus chapter 3. Moses. You know the life of Moses. He was raised. God spared his life. His mom puts him in a secure little basket. He's found, and his life is spared. He's raised there in Egypt, in Pharaoh's house. Circumstances take place. He takes a man's life. He runs, fear for his life. leaves 40 years now, and all of a sudden he's out keeping a flock of sheep in chapter 3. Now Moses was keeping the flocks of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led his flocks to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. Moses looked, and behold, the bush was not burning, yet it was not consumed. Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush has not been burned. We see right here, it's not bad to talk to ourselves. Okay? He wasn't talking to the sheep. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him. Did he call him Sam? Did he call him John? He called him by his name. He called him Moses. Moses. He knows our name. We can go over to 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we can see that God calls Samuel by name. Specifically, he knows us. In Psalms chapter 139, the psalmist says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, it says, But thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When we see Jesus calling his disciples, he is calling them by name very clearly. And so when he's identifying those, he's making them his. You are mine. And when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and we are no longer ours, but we belong to him. We're his children. We are his children. It is his work he has done in saving us. So it's very personal. So as salvation is all of God, it actually incorporates all of us. And the thing is, we bring nothing to the table but our sin. And God brings everything. That's how God works. So it's personal. His call in our lives, his call for the disciples, it's very personal. Then God has a plan. He has a plan. Jesus says, follow me. This past week, we have a new employee. He's been with me for 5 weeks, right by my side. And I'm coming to this big, giant machine. It has no guards on it. It has a 10-inch cutter about this. And it runs about 2,000 RPM. It's pretty fast. And so it has quite a few teeth on this cutter. This guy has never ran a machine anything like it. I said, come on over here. I'm going to have you use this machine. As we're walking and we get closer, his eyes get bigger. And I can see, I just asked him to follow me. Okay? And I can see that he's intimidated and he's fearful. So what I usually do when I try to train anyone on any new machine is I run it first. And I will give them the safety features of the machine, the do's and the don'ts. And I give very clear instructions because I don't want them to get hurt. I know they don't want to get hurt. I don't want them to get hurt. And so as we do this and I get the machine running and it's going across the machine and chips are flying and goes right across the machine, I can just see him. And he said, I ain't going to lie to you, but this is intimidating. And I'm a little fearful of running this machine. I said, it'll be fine. And the guy's got 7 years experience as a machinist. So he just never ran this machine. So as we got running it, he got more comfortable as it went. But I asked him to follow me, and in that following me, I'm asking him to trust me. I'm asking him to trust what I am going to instill in you and what I'm going to teach you and what I'm going to show you so that you will have confidence that you can do the same thing. Does that not sound like the Lord? When he asks us to follow him, when he's asking the disciples at this very moment, the disciples have no clue what the next 2.5 to 3 years is going to look like for their lives. They're going to hear a lot of teaching. They're going to hear that, you know, there are going to be ones who are going to persecute you, and they will say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. They'll hear things like, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are they that are merciful. Blessed are they that mourn. They'll see things when on the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples, the three disciples that are there, and how they get so excited that they were there, and they want to raise up these tents, and all of a sudden Moses and Elijah disappear, and it's all about Jesus. That's got to be our focus, that we would follow the Lord. So God knows what he is doing at all times in our lives when he says, come follow me. Jesus did not one time take them in a place that he didn't have a very clear plan laid out for their good, for their best in their lives. And yet, he just simply says those words, follow me. He does the same with us. Lord, I'm not so sure. Just follow me. Because in that, we've also have to trust him as we follow him. You know the plans. Jeremiah verse 29, chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. We all know this. It says, for I know the plans I have for you. You see, God is speaking. I know the plans I have for you. We're so eager to want to know the plans. We're getting ready to go on a trip here, Chris and I. I want the road map. I want to know where I'm going, how I'm going to get there, what hotel we're going to stay in, what's it going to cost me. I want to know everything laid out. And you know what? In that journey, we might have a flat tire, we might have a blown motor, we might, who knows what we're going to face. You're probably not like that. You're probably really fully trusting the Lord and saying, okay, God, I'm going to go wherever you leave me. I'll do whatever you ask me. And Jesus just simply says, follow me. Now, as Chris and I have sought the Lord about this trip, we have freedom to go. We don't know what God's going to do on this trip, but we're trusting him. So let me finish the verse. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When Jesus said, come follow me, that's exactly what he's asking. Is you come seek me, you come find me, you come follow me, you come ask of me, you come. And that's what the disciples did all the time, would ask questions. And the scriptures doesn't write everything for us. We know that from John chapter 20. If everything was ever written, all that Jesus said and did, no book could ever hold it. So if the Lord has a plan for each of us, which he does, how important is for us to know the Lord? Is it your earnest desire of your heart to know Jesus? Is it the earnest of your heart to know the scriptures? Because in the scriptures is where we see the Lord. It's in the scriptures as we see God and we see him working in his ways, and we know him and personally. And then in prayer, we can ask the questions. In prayer, we can say, God, I'm not so sure I want to go here. And his Holy Spirit ministers to us. It's kind of like sometimes as we cry out to the Lord that we're the guy who was afraid to touch the machine. Lord, I'm honest with you right now. This is an intimidating situation. What you're asking me is, I'm not so sure I can follow and do this, what you're asking me to do. It's way bigger than I have ever considered that I could do. There's more to this, Lord, than what I thought was going to happen. The disciples did not know that they were going to have to give their lives for the cause of Christ when he said, come follow me. That wasn't at the start, but it's in the process of the plan we find grace. It's in the process as we go along and we walk with Jesus that we find grace, receive grace to be able to endure the things that we face. It would be grace that God provides for any one of us to lay down our lives for someone else. He's able to do that. And he may ask that of us at some time. It's in the Word of God that God reveals himself to us. Now, purpose. God has a purpose. I'll make you to become fishers of men. That is the start. But there's more of a purpose that God has in calling these. Purpose, and I only have a couple here. There's actually a whole lot more. One of the purposes is that God wants us to know him and to make him known. Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you become fishers of men. Okay, how are you going to do that? I'm pretty good at fishing. I can cast a net. I can mend a net. But what's this about fishing for men? Scripture doesn't say they don't stop. They actually began to follow them, follow the Lord Jesus wholeheartedly. And it's in that process they learn about becoming fishers of men. What does it mean? What does it look like? And only in following him do they begin to know him. They begin to find their purpose of why God has called them. Jesus begins to lay things out to them in ways that, okay, this is what's going to happen. This is where we're going. This is where it's going to lead you. And you're going to be speaking to people, probably people that you never even thought you'd speak to. Another one is that in that call and the purpose is that God wants to glorify, he wants us to glorify him in our lives on a daily basis. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, that I might know him. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 14, that I know my sheep and they know me. That's a relationship. That's a togetherness. There's a oneness that's taking place there. And it's all for us to glorify God for all that he's ever done for us. And the disciples did that as they gave their lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. They glorified God in their bodies. God, our Savior, wants to glorify himself in us for his glory. He saved us with an everlasting salvation so that we might be to the praise of his glory. It's not so that we can make ourselves better so we can make ourselves acceptable to him, but he makes us and he sanctifies us for his glory. Sometimes our thinking, sometimes my thinking is I got this so that God can bless me so that I can be better for him. You ever think that way? It's not. Because all of a sudden I'm making me to be something in God's eyes when really we need to be nothing in God's eyes. Remember the message last week? Oh, that he, Jesus, might increase and we might decrease. So God wants to glorify himself in us. Then there's a specific purpose for each one of us. God, in the 12 disciples that he chose, of the original 12, each one was different. Each one had a specific purpose. They all were not Judas Iscariot. Only one was. For God's purpose, for God's plan. And it was personal. When we look at Moses and how God used Moses, it was a very specific purpose that God had raised up Moses. We, being able to look back and see the whole counsel of God, we can see it wasn't God's purpose for Moses to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. It was Joshua who was the type of Christ. When we begin to see all the things in the scripture and how God has raised up individuals for very specific reasons, for a specific purpose, God has a specific purpose for your life, which is not the same for me, when it comes down to how God wants to use us. Now, it is the same when it says that we need to, every one of us are to know him, that we all need to glorify him, that we all need to love him, that we all need to walk with him, we all need to honor him, we all need to worship him. But yet the very specific purpose that God has raised you up is to be a vessel unto honor to where he can lead you and take you, and be sometimes his mouthpiece for people who will never hear. We know that each of us are not going to be talking to the same people. We might run in contact over the years, but there's some people that will never even hear the gospel unless we speak to them individually. When we look at the life of Jesus, very specific purpose for our Savior. God with us. Came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And there's many, many verses that we could go over with the life of Jesus. Moses, Joshua, Paul, in Acts. Turn on over there to Acts chapter 9, if you would. And I find this, I just love this about him. Because God, even on the road to Damascus, God calls out to him very specifically his name. Makes it personal. And then he has a plan, and then he has a purpose. We'll start in verse 10. Most of us know the story of Paul on the road to Damascus, a bright shining light. He's already breathing threatenings. He's trying to kill Christians. God calls him. He has a serious encounter with the Lord, no different than our salvation, an encounter with the Lord, and he stops us in our tracks, stopped him in his tracks, and he knew it was God speaking to him. He recognizes his need for God. Verse 10, it says, "Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here am I, Lord.' And the Lord said to him, 'Rise and go to the street called Straight. At the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay hands on him so that he might regain his sight.' But Ananias answered." This is prayer time, talking back and forth to the Lord and God speaking to us. "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.' And so Ananias departed and entered the house." You see, God has a very specific purpose, plan that he has for each one of us as we trust him, as we seek him, as we know him, and he leads us and he guides us along the way. Sometimes we want to look at the disciples and we want to look at the Apostle Paul and put them on a pedestal. We have to be careful to do that. They were sinful men, sinners just like you and I, saved by the grace of God for a very specific purpose. If we at all elevate these people at all, then we have We've done no better than created an idol, raised them above ourselves when they're just men equal to us. We dare not raise these people up. We dare not. And you say, but the scriptures talk, it doesn't mean that we're to raise and elevate them up. They are simply human beings saved by the grace of God, no different than you and I. And it's been recorded in the Word of God for our benefit, for our learning, for our growing. I say this sometimes, guys will say something about me, and I say, you know, if you cut me, I'll bleed, and it'll be red. If you cut the disciples, they will bleed, and it will be red. They're no different than you and I. No different. God's call, God's work, God's change in their life, God's grace did it all. Same thing for us. That gives us hope. It gives us hope. And Paul's life was gloriously changed 180 degrees as he responded to the Lord. And God sent him for a very specific purpose to make his name known amongst the Gentiles, which I myself am a Gentile. And I thank God that he did that so that I might, in 1978, be able to hear the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I could know Jesus as my Savior and receive him. Same thing with you. God has revealed to me what my specific purpose in life is. I'm not going to share that with you. If you're interested in knowing it, I'll share it with you later. But he gave it to me in 1990, July of 1990. Now, let me say this. It's not important that we know what our purpose is to the detail that these men are. God gave it to me. I was seeking him. He graciously gave it to me. We will still fulfill our purpose as we walk with Jesus, whether we know it or not. Did you understand that? We will still fulfill the purpose that God has for us as individuals as we walk with him, whether we know what that purpose is or not. God has created you specifically for him, his purpose, for his glory, and he's going to use you. And some of us, because I have been here where I have been in mundane situations, living life day in and day out, day in and day out, going to work, do this, go to church, do this, da 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 da. And I just think, Lord, what is my purpose? What do you have in store for me? I can't see. Is there anything? And God just cries out to me and says, I want you to know me. I want you to see me. I want you to trust me. And you know, it's in those mundane, it's in the fixing of the nets that Jesus comes along and says, hey, come follow me. It's in the casting of the nets that our Lord and Savior comes up to Simon Peter and Andrew and says, come follow me. It's in those moments that we are doing something that we know God is asking us to do, and all of a sudden God shows up and he reveals himself to us in a way that we've not seen him before. We've had those moments in our lives. So we don't stop the mundane and hope that we can be like one of the disciples, or we can be like this or be like that, or we can be the pastor, or we can be the missionary, or we can. It's that we are obedient and we're knowing Jesus, where he has planted us, where he has called us, and where we're walking. And he reveals himself to us. So we have, it's personal, there's a plan, there's a purpose, and God will provide. The Lord will provide. What Jesus asks us to do, he'll make a way. He will supply the grace to accomplish what he asks us to do. God promises to never leave us nor forsake us. The last moments when Jesus is getting ready to leave, he tells his disciples, for I am with you, lo, even to the end. He tells them and reassures them that he will never leave them nor forsake them. Everywhere that we go, God says, I'll walk with you and I'll hold your hand. I'll be right with you. He has given us the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, that so many, we don't recognize the power of the Holy Spirit wanting to change us and speak to us in ways through the scriptures that God really wants to speak to us. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 8 says, But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I from the ends of the earth and have called from the farthest corners, saying to you, You are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you off. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And we know that righteous right hand is Jesus. God is so committed to us that when he placed the call on our lives, that he's going to do everything. Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, Faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. Faithful is he who calls you. God is faithful, and he will do it in you and through you. This morning, it's about 6:30, I was really wrestling, having a moment of discouragement. And I just said, God, what am I doing? What am I doing? Why am I even going to speak this morning? Why would you have me? And I was on this point right here, provide. Doing some reading, writing things down. And I bowed my head. I said, God, I just don't get it. I really don't. And all of a sudden, at that time, I listened to, on Pandora, I have a shuffle of the Gettys and Michael Card. And so Lauren playing over there, and maybe you've heard this song. And the song is, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. I'm on this point. And the song plays, the connection of the two, the timing was perfect. And the Holy Spirit just said, this is me. This is me. And I began to cry and say, Lord, how can I doubt you, knowing the things that you've asked me to do, that you've called me to do, that you want me to do, and yet I just am so questioning myself. Questioning you, that he just wants me to trust him because he and his faithfulness will make the way for us. He will make the way as we know him. So, in our takeaway this morning, it is personal. God's call on the disciples, everything there was very personal. He has a plan. He had a plan for them in mind. He has purposes for them. And God was going to provide for his disciples as they walked with him. It's true with us as well. So the four things that I'd like to encourage you to take away is make sure of your call. Make sure that you're born again. Have you truly received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you done that? If you haven't done that, today's the day of salvation. God is calling you by name. He knows you, and he wants to save you. Save you from what? Save you from God's wrath. He wants to save you from his own wrath. That's why Jesus came. Seek the Lord to know his plan for your life, for our lives. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Pray and read the Word of God. God will lead you in ways. He will speak peace to you from the Scriptures. He will give hope to you from the Scriptures when you happen to be in a moment of hopelessness. He might use a song like he did this morning for me to encourage my heart. He might use a message that you might hear that you're playing on your iPod as you drive, or maybe you've got some a YouTube video that you're watching as far as a message, and the Word of God is being spoken to you through that. God can use those things. And then in all things, trust the Lord, for he has a purpose for you. Trust the Lord. Even as I ask all the guys, I have 8 guys directly under me. And each of them take training of a different degree. As I train them, I'm asking them to trust me as I show them the right way of what they should be doing. There's the intensity of the trust that we need to have for our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is not the same. I don't want them to trust me in a sense that they become a snare, but I want them to trust God with me, and I have said that to many of them. Trust God with me because God has blessed the fruit and labor of his hands, and if you follow what I'm asking you to do, you're not going to fail. And you're not going to make scrap, because that's the goal. We don't want to make scrap. We don't want to make bad parts. We don't want to cost a lot of money or go backwards. We don't want to go back 10 steps when we need to be going 10 steps forward. So trust in the Lord, for he has a purpose in our lives. He has a purpose for you. You're very important to him. You are very important to him. And then the last, rest in his promises that he has his best at heart for us. And he will provide. God has his best in store for us. And as we wait upon the Lord, his best will be revealed for us. All of us who know Jesus are waiting for a long time for the return of the Lord Jesus and for him to call us home. Our dear brother Jim Hayes is experiencing some of the best things the Scriptures talks about. He's with the Lord. That is our hope. That's what we're looking for. And sometimes some of that is just taken for us having to wait on the Lord. Bow your heads with me if you would. Father, there really is no one else to turn to that can do the things that you can do. And you are so committed to us. You are so faithful. Lord, you who have started something in the beginning when you saved us haven't left us to ourselves. And you know what you have in store in the days ahead for each one of us. And so, Lord, we would ask that you'd, one, help us to teach us to number our days so we could apply our hearts to wisdom. But, Lord, in each day, may we eagerly look to you and seek in you to know you. To know you so that we can worship you and honor you and glorify you. Lord, please change us. Change the way we think at times so that we can see you in all things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.